Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
6:09 in the morning, 720 WGN. Good morning to you. Happy Wednesday. Discussing a little bit more about the Roseanne fallout from yesterday. As you all know, Roseanne canceled at ABC following that racist tweet that she put out about Valerie Jarrett yesterday. ABC Entertainment releasing a statement saying that her comments about Valerie Jarrett and comparing her to a child of the Planet of the Apes combined with the Muslim Brotherhood, quote, end quote, they called it abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values. And fallout is fast and furious this morning as well. We were following Michael Fishman, Sarah Gilbert, some of the actors on the program, saying that they don't condone her behavior. Again, it's just unbelievable how fast and furious the fallout was.
Yeah, the thing is, ABC did the only thing they could do.
Right.
The only thing they could do. They're not in business to lose money, and this is an absolute crusher. So they fired her. She said stupid things for years.
Yep.
And nothing about that has changed. Yesterday, the comment that came out a night and a half ago was inexcusable. And they did exactly the right thing.
And they canceled, too, Steve, not just the show, but all the reruns on all of the other channels as well, because she's been in reruns on TBS for years.
Yeah, nobody wants to be a part of being in the Roseanne business anymore.
Exactly. So, show's gone.
We're not going to spend a ton of time on it today because everybody's panting and losing their mind over it. And frankly, there's bigger stuff we need to talk about. But we will talk to Dean, obviously. And who else is coming on from
Chicago's own Lauren Zima from ET?
From Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah. Yesterday I heard Ben Bradley on with Amy Guth and I don't know who was filling in for Roe, but he said that in the newsroom, you know, they were working on that police officer that was that passed away.
The diver,
yeah. But they have all these monitors that show their web traffic and stuff. And unfortunately, their web traffic was like four times more active than normal at that time. And it was all the Roseanne stuff. Yeah. So they...
Well, here's my point. And this is like an on-air show meeting. Where do you go with this story?
Well, yeah, that's the...
There's two sides. Yeah. There's two sides. The side is she's an idiot and she should have been fired. The other side is this nonsense theory that has come up that ABC put the show on the air so they could eventually cancel it and stick it to Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. No. But, you know, Grzanich had a great, great point, too, and this could be a segue for where this is going to go today. The millions and millions of millions of dollars ABC's losing. And look at the cast and the crew of this production who lost their jobs, are losing their money. I know the main actors are probably under contract. That's fine. But the crew, everybody loses in this situation.
Well, the writers. Everybody thinks a writer on a hit show is making millions and millions of dollars.
Exactly.
That's not how it works.
The story I saw, by the way, was in Variety, and it said not only did it show like the advertising dollars, but it showed the impressions that the advertisers want to see per show, and it showed across platforms of... on the new series and on reruns, it was billions of impressions for Roseanne.
Mm-hmm. Roseanne's been up all night, literally up all night, tweeting hundreds of tweets and retweets from people who are fans of hers who are saying she got screwed, she's a victim. A lot of the folks that are saying this are the same people that rightly said Kathy Griffin should have been fired. Because you want the other side of this? These aren't just jokes. The comedians sometimes hide behind that. I was just joking.
Right.
These aren't jokes.
No.
These are idiotic statements. And when Kathy Griffin held a bloodied head model of the President of the United States, she should have been fired.
Absolutely.
And she was.
Absolutely.
And that's the other side of this, because she happens to be a liberal Democrat and Roseanne is a conservative Republican.
Roseanne, as you say, has been tweeting all that. She was retweeting Wanda Sykes, who actually was a consultant on season one, and she quit before.
No, she was still on the show.
Yeah, she was
quitting.
Right. She was trying to quit before this had all happened, but she was retweeting her, and she was retweeting Sarah Gilbert's comments where she said that they're abhorrent and don't reflect the beliefs of our cast and crew.
Did I see that she also said that she was on Ambien?
Yeah. That was her big excuse.
Yeah.
She called it Ambien tweeting.
Yeah.
If I'm Ambien, I'd sue her. Yeah.
Which is ironic, because if she's taking Ambien, she should be sleeping and not tweeting.
Yeah. If you take Ambien and it causes you to tweet, you're probably missing out on the positive effects of the product.
Twitter should sue.
All right, so we got a bunch of other stuff to get to. We'll get to the top six as well. As a matter of fact, we got a bunch of business to take care of, so let's jump in right here.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
There may yet be hope for the Republican Party that I grew up around, and that is Trey Gowdy, the South Carolina retiring, or I don't know how you would even term what he's going to do next, but Trey Gowdy stepping aside, he'll no longer run for re-election, so he's a little more free to talk than your average coward politician. And he stepped up yesterday and on Fox said the FBI did exactly what they should have done when they were investigating the Trump campaign. Again, the argument here that you say this is unprecedented. This is unprecedented for anyone to be investigating within a campaign. No. You know what's unprecedented? Unprecedented is when a foreign country changes a presidential election or infiltrates it and tries to, which is exactly what happened, which meant the FBI should have been involved. And Trey Gowdy yesterday on Fox said the same. He said the FBI did what they should have done and did what all Americans would want them to do. So, you know, good for him. Next, Republican Congresswoman from Tennessee has blamed pornography as well as other cultural issues for school shootings. Diane Black, running for governor of Tennessee, made the comments while speaking to a group of ministers during a listening session, which reported the story, including audio of the remarks. Again, she's a sitting Republican congresswoman. Mm-hmm. It's not the guns. It's not people who shouldn't have access to guns because they have issues. It's pornography.
Right. Right. And what's even crazier is that as she continued in her statement, she said, we see so many young people that have mental illness get caught in these places. Implying what?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
No. Crazy is, you know, we may need to watch her. You know, but could be, though, could be the Ambien. Pritzker, as in JB, gives $5 million more to his campaign. At what point is there trouble at the Pritzker house? At what point does Mrs. Pritzker go, how much?
Mm-hmm.
$80 million is still a drop in the bucket. That's about the amount he's given so far. And it's his money. He can do anything he wants to it. His most recent donation is also helping to seed some other campaigns, which would put more Democrats in office.
Yeah, he gave $1 million to the Rock Island Democratic Central Committee, and he also gave $500,000 to two other committees, two other people running for Illinois Senate.
Madigan getting any money from him?
Don't quite know. Let's see. Stand by. Don't see Madigan. Raoul and Michael Frerix he's giving money to.
And it's show number 1,156, and Mike Madigan's invited on the show. Oh, I'm being told he's not going to show up again because he doesn't feel he has to talk to you, the voters of Illinois. Next, the governor of Missouri is out. Governor Greitens has finally stepped down. You know, I think if you, who are any of us to judge other people's marriages? But I think when you take it to the next level and say you tie your mistress up and you do revenge pornography in the basement, that's a problem. And then you lie about it and you may have been abusive and other things. It's time for him to go. And he did. Greitens announced he's stepping down as of, I think, today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the people of Missouri, you're going to get a new governor. You're going to get a special election and so on and so on. And Greitens, who was really a rising star in the Republican Party, is tossed on the dustbin, the trash heap, the dumpster of terrible people making terrible decisions being in power.
I wonder if pornography causes divorce.
Ambien and pornography together. Those are the two things that really throw you. Yeah, those are the problems. Next. Chicago police spent much of Memorial Day weekend tracking and chasing groups. You're talking about this off the air yesterday, Andrea. Teens through downtown Chicago with borderline criminal behavior that sometimes ended in vandalism and fights. And there were some people... Well, tell me a story you told me yesterday. Some people on Michigan Avenue that closed their stores?
Yeah, there's some people, actually, Michigan Avenue and in the South Loop as well. These flash mobs is what they're calling them. Whether or not that's the most accurate term is to be debated. But they start from 31st Street and go all the way up to the Mag Mile. And they hop on the L and they use the L. So actually, police in District 1 tracked someone to right in front of the Tribune Tower, one of these groups, because they were stealing cell phones. Tracked it. Some had hopped a bus, some had hopped an L, and they stopped the bus and got them off of the bus and made the arrest. But these large groups are going to these stores like Target and along the Mag Mile, and when police get a heads up and they see these large groups coming, they tell the businesses, just close your doors. You know, because you don't want these mobs to get in because you don't know what they can do. And
they're carrying bats?
They're carrying sticks, and some are carrying bats. One was reportedly hiding a bat in his pants in Millennium
Park. Is this to steal stuff or just to destroy things?
Both, probably. Both. But just to be safe, they're telling a lot of the businesses when these groups are gathering at night mainly, and they gather along the beaches too, and they're heading toward a certain business, and they start knocking on the door or infiltrating the business, they're saying just close the doors for now.
And to bring it full circle, there are some people who are claiming these stores are closed because they're racist stores, and they don't want they're not letting these black kids in.
No.
I don't care if they're black, green, brown, purple, orange. You come in with a specific intent of mugging or destroying or shoplifting, the stores have every right to close their doors.
Yeah.
And some of these kids were fighting with each other, like openly fighting on the streets with each other, too.
Mm-hmm. So.
And finally this, millions of Illinois Facebook users could be part of a class action lawsuit over photo tagging. Illinois Facebook users are being notified they could be involved in this. The facial tagging feature is the issue here. Anybody want to explain some facial tagging?
So we all take a group picture. Okay, and say Sandberg posts the picture and tags all of us, but say forget to tag Dave Ennett. Dave will say, I want to tag myself or tag somebody else in the picture who hasn't been recognized.
I don't think Dave should ever tag himself.
No, I don't. Generally do not.
So it's tagging a photograph on Facebook.
So a court-appointed administrator on Monday began sending emails to users who resided in Illinois for at least 60 consecutive days on this. Why is this a lawsuit?
Well, because it suggests you roll over the photo and it says, this is Mary. Should I tag you? This is Andrea. It knows who we are before we've done this.
So, in other words, people don't want to necessarily give up their identity.
Right, because they didn't get written permission from us ahead of time.
That's
the problem.
Got it. All right. I'd like to be involved in that lawsuit. Throw me in. Coming up in just a second, Ana Balaval on an absolute outrage in Puerto Rico, which frankly is a much more important story than Roseanne. But first at 6:20, what's coming up?
Steve, there was a fatal shooting that led to a big crash, and it was in the South Loop last night. We'll tell you all about it on that story and more coming up at 6:30 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
And before Mary says another word, didn't Big Voice guy standing by?
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Psst, Mary.
Traffic
Mary.
Sponsored by...
Mary.
I got it.
Mary, listen.
What?
It's Annette's birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Steve Annette's birthday, don't tell him.
Is there cake?
Is there cake? Here's Mary in the traffic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
6:25, our friend Ana Balaval joins us because we need to talk about your home. We need to talk about Puerto Rico. Good morning, Ana.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Every time something like this comes up, I really appreciate it, Steve.
Well, I think it's really important. I think it's important for you to give us some perspective on this. We heard a horrible, horrible story yesterday. We know it to be true, that the alleged fatality count from Hurricane Maria of 70 or 75 is actually over 4,500. I mean, this is just it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, not for us, honestly. The people on the island knew that the numbers that the government was giving were not making any sense. You know, 64 deaths, but anecdotal evidence showed the contrary. You know, you could hear people saying that grandparents that were in their 90s were dying because of the heat. You were hearing that some people were trapped in their homes during the hurricane and weren't accounted for. And, you know, I myself, my best friend who lives on the island, her grandmother, who was at 94, I think, was living with her parents. My friend Ingrid's parents lost their generator, and their grandma, who had dementia, died maybe a week after the hurricane hit because the heat was too much and the stress was too much. A lot of doctors couldn't work under the right conditions. I remember pictures of doctors doing surgery with iPhone lights. So we're not talking, my niece who survived the hurricane and lives with us now until June 23rd, not that I'm counting because she's 16. that didn't come out right.
No, it's fine. It's not fine. It's not a drama. It's fine.
So she says you can survive the storm. It's the aftermath that was even more horrible. You know, the storm had winds that were up to 200 miles an hour in the mountains and in some towns. And so that was devastating. But the aftermath, remember, we lost the entire power grid.
Right.
Grid. And it's been 8 months, and there are people still in metropolitan areas. We're talking Caguas, Bayamón, all these towns that are close to San Juan, with still no power. And doctors are also leaving the island. So for Puerto Ricans, for a long time, we haven't believed what either government has told us.
So,
we are pulling ourselves by our bootstraps. So,
well, and this is why it matters. It doesn't just matter because it's horrific and these people died and they deserve to be remembered. It matters because of money. And the fact is, when you say 64 people die and the president of the United States stands up and goes, well, it's not like Katrina. You guys kind of lucked out here. This isn't like Katrina. It turns out this is twice as bad. 4,600 people dead. Not 64, 4,600 people dead. And here we are 24 hours after this story came out. And have we heard anything from the White House?
No, we have heard that our governor in Puerto Rico welcomes all studies. So he seems, according to some publications, blindsided by the study. I'm not really sure where he lives. And I think that's what's frustrating, right? That thankfully, the president, with all due respect, is lucky that Puerto Rico had no power when he was throwing paper towels at people and saying that we had lucked out. Because when I told my father, who is a lifelong statehooder, who believes in statehood for Puerto Rico, and who's almost 80 years old, that the president had said that, he was like, who is advising him? Who is talking to him? And my dad was in Puerto Rico with no power. So, it doesn't make any sense that the governor didn't, our governor, well, my governor now is the Illinois governor, right, because I'm a resident of Illinois.
But, right, but the governor of Puerto Rico.
The governor of Puerto Rico didn't take the right measures that we have taken. This is not the first hurricane that hits Puerto Rico. And I remember growing up through Hugo, and my mom saying, don't worry, the FEMA planes are here. The Johnson & Johnson planes are here before the hurricane hit. And it doesn't make any sense that our governor, before or after, doesn't seem to know or doesn't seem to have advisors that say, we have to get ahead of the eight ball. We have to get ahead of the game. And the more we tell them that there is devastation here, the more it's going to work. Like, there is enough with don't bite the hand that feeds you, you know?
Yeah, but DJ, I understand you say that, but we're talking about United States citizens here.
Right.
They're not asking for people, or they're not asking for things they're not entitled to.
I know, Steve, but when you're a colony, that is your attitude. Don't make them mad.
Right.
Act, behave nicely. I grew up in that situation. You know, my family thinks that the U.S. would come in and fix it all, and that we needed to be respectful, and that you needed to be an outstanding citizen and not demand too much, because Lord knows when they would pull out the help, right? When they would say, well, screw you, you're in the middle of a giant ocean, right? So that the generation that's coming up now is saying, well, wait a minute. Why are we begging? These are natural born citizens.
Right.
These are not people that are saying, oh, listen, master, please help us.
Right.
You know? But I don't get it. And it's infuriating. And I talk, this is not Ana Belaval, the journalist, talking. This is Ana Belaval, the outraged Puerto Rican talking.
And rightfully so.
There have been island-wide outages since the hurricane, including a big one in April. So my question to you, are they doing anything more to restore that grid, to prevent the loss of power? And are supplies still coming in? Because I know supplies are still much needed.
Mm-hmm. So They are still putting Band-Aids on the power grid. Our power grid was awful anyway. And so they are just bandaging it up, right? So, no, there is no plan that you see that says, oh, they're now going to solar electricity, you know, solar power. Oh, they have restored, because I understand you want to get whatever power grid is there and put it back up. So people are kind of used to the power outages sporadically, right? They're like, well, this is the price we're paying. But let me tell you, my parents haven't left the island since the hurricane hit, because they have this guilt that because they are part of the privileged that have a generator and live comfortably, they shouldn't leave. They should sit through this
wow.
disaster, right? So they were about to go to Florida 2 weeks ago. My mom got sick and was told not to go. But my mother said, I didn't want to leave up until now because I had guilt. Now I'm mad because I don't understand how we're still in this situation. You know, so yes, blackouts are constant. Supplies are slow. My parents reordered their storm shutters, but they haven't shown up because there's no supplies. My sister-in-law just finally got her garage door that she lost during the hurricane because there were no supplies. So, and what makes me mad is the people that on my Facebook say, well, Puerto Ricans should do it on their own. We're trying. There's pictures of guys trying to fix electrical poles by themselves because they've been without power for 8 months.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. And this story needs to be kept on the front pages, and there needs to be action taken on it today. We all remember how badly Katrina was screwed up. 1,833 people died as a result of Hurricane Katrina. Our best guess now is 4,600 have died as a result of Hurricane Maria. Sadly, it is a scorecard when it comes to disasters. And more needs to be done immediately to try to make this right, because it's been way wrong since August 31st of last year, the end of the first week of this nightmare.
And the hurricane season starts now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like it couldn't happen again. Anna, thank you.
So we live in constant fear. You know, like we are in constant fear that this can happen again and put the final nail in the coffin.
You know, for whatever it's worth, just please, I hope you'll tell your family and friends there that we are thinking about them and we're trying to make some noise here. So, just everybody needs to.
Yes, and it's worth the world to us. You know, as I told you, I'm always appreciative that you guys and my coworkers have kept the story going. Right. And yeah, because it is devastating, and it is our problem.
Good luck. We love you.
Thank
and
you.
We'd do this even if we didn't. See you later. 6:34. Headlines next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
It's 6:44 on Dave Bennett's birthday. Who else? It's somebody else's birthday today. Who do you share a birthday with? Andrea, look up who the famous people are with Dave.
I want to say Gail Sayers, possibly.
It's interesting that you don't know, because I can tell you several with mine. Rick Dees. Disco Duck Rick Dees. Albert Einstein. And Quincy Jones.
Oh,
and by the way, those three are often together. Einstein, Quincy Jones, and Rick Dees.
Idina Menzel. Idina Menzel's birthday is today. CeeLo. CeeLo Green.
CeeLo Green. Mm-hmm. Gail Sayers. I think it's Gail Sayers.
I think you're thinking of Pat Boyle. Is Pat Boyle's birthday today?
No, oh, that's not your birthday.
My birthday was earlier this month.
Oh, well, that's just like Dave's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, the celebrities on Dave's birthday are who?
Well, there's a whole bunch, but CeeLo, Idina Menzel, Ted McGinley, Winona Judd.
Ted McGinley.
I know, it's funny.
Who?
Trey Parker.
The Love Boat guy,
the Love
Ted
Boat
McGinley.
Guy. It's funny, as I get older, all of the celebrities, of course, they get younger and younger, and then you see the people that you know, and there's maybe two of them.
Did you see what she did there?
Yeah, she tried to make it. Well, the reason
the one
I bring all this up with Karen Conti is because Dave wants to sue us because we haven't given him his cake yet.
Wow, so entitled.
I mean, Karen, is that a legitimate case? Do you think I have a beef there? I mean, do you think it would hold up in court?
Well, if you created those expectations, Steve, and Dave relied on them, I would say that he does have a very good lawsuit.
There's got to be somewhere in America, there's got to be an office birthday cake lawsuit. There has to be.
All right.
Don't you get information on stupid lawsuits all the time? Isn't that something lawyers share?
Oh, yeah. There's all websites dedicated to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for asking. Karen Conti's on Sunday nights at what time?
7 to 9
all right.
p.m.
We actually have a whiny staff question. Steve Grzanich, are you in trouble with the law?
I am, yes. I need bail money if we could pass the hat this
all right,
morning.
No problem.
No, I'm not in trouble with the law. But Karen, good morning. I have a question about a tree on property, neighbor's property. That has all of a sudden had a growth spurt and is now actually damaging my garage.
Is it the roots are doing it, or is it the overhanging branches?
It is actually the trunk of the tree that has gotten so big now. It's busted through my fence and is now damaging my garage.
Okay, very common problem, actually. And generally speaking, if it was just the limbs going into your property, you have the right to trim those as long as it doesn't damage the tree. So you always have that right from where your fence line is to your property. You can trim trees and do that kind of stuff. But when it comes to a trunk, you can't really very well trim that trunk without probably damaging or killing that tree. So that could be a crime, actually, to do that if you decide to do that. Also, your neighbor could conceivably sue you for damages if you kill that tree. So,
but he has a right to. He has a right for his house not to be damaged, right?
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's where these two things collide. And generally, your right would probably be, from a legal standpoint, is to file a lawsuit against the neighbor for a nuisance, meaning that his tree is infringing on your property. It's damaging your fence. It's damaging your garage or whatever it is. And you have damages and you need to fix it. And that would be your remedy. Now, that doesn't seem very cost effective. So generally speaking, I always tell people, get an arborist, someone who knows about trees, to come out and look at it. See what that they can do so as not to damage the tree. If the guy says, listen, there's nothing you can do short of killing this tree, then you send a letter, maybe have a lawyer like me, send a letter into the neighbor and say, you know, you got to do something. We've got to fix this. You've got to pay for it. And if that doesn't happen, then you bring them to small claims court and you get a judgment against them. Now, you hate to do that because being at odds with your neighbors, not a good thing. I don't know if anyone has ever had a bad neighbor, but you really can't enjoy your property when you got some jerk next door who's, you know, at odds with you.
I've always had disputes with my neighbors. Wait, that must mean it's me. All right, so Steve sounds like he's up for a good time here. Steve, do you have a good relationship with this neighbor?
Well, we don't have any relationship, actually. It's, you know, how neighbors are in the city. We don't, you know, I just found out recently who the person's name was that I need to talk to. So, you know, before it was a rental building and now it's an owner building. So we're going to, I think our condo association is going to try to have a meeting first with them. And
time for a party, Steve.
Yeah, to see if maybe this, you know, could be non, you know, because I think they'll see that. Once they see how the tree is damaging our garage, hopefully they'll take some action. But this is a really big tree.
Yeah, well, that's a problem for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Karen, it brings to mind where I live. There are, you know, there's lots of homes, and there's four houses that share the particular corner of our backyard, ours and three others. And there's a wet spot there, and it's sort of undetermined in nature as to where the water's coming from. And it's got to be fixed. I'm pretty sure where it's coming from. And I have no beef with the neighbors. Neighbors have no beef with me. But at some point, I'll probably be calling you saying that you're going to have to help me.
It's, you know, neighbor disputes, I mean, people laugh at them, but they're really awful. And I have had people, you know, I've advised them to move out. Because there's really nothing you can do short of spending all your money suing people, and that's right. Just not what you should be doing. Always the best bet is to nicely talk, you know, try to sit down, try to resolve it. A lot of communities actually have people who will come out and help you resolve your issues, kind of mediate the issue or come up with suggestions so you don't have these problems, because they can escalate into violence, and I've seen that as well, where you have orders of protection and you have people, you know, throwing things at each other and videotaping each other and taunting the children, and so you don't want to go there. You want to avoid that at all.
How about Rand Paul tackled while he's mowing lawn?
I mean, really.
And we still don't know what that's about.
No, yeah. I still don't know what that's about.
Karen, is there a law? Is there some sort of state law? I know there's no city ordinance because I talked to the city already, but is there a state law that would be on my side on this about the tree damaging property?
It's not an actual law. It's just really what the common law is. You know, it's what gets enforced. And the laws are pretty much all the same, is that you have a right to your property, but if someone infringes on your property, that's a nuisance, and you have damages. The problem is you can't just kill trees, because that in and of itself, it could be a crime. It could be a theft or damage to property. So you've got these two conflicting things, and that's what makes this difficult.
What did Morgan Freeman, Ivanka Trump, and Sesame Street have in common? Only Karen Conti knows for sure. Karen Conti, what's the number at the office?
The number is 312-332-7800.
All right, so as we continue here, Morgan Freeman says he wants immediate retractions from anyone and everyone, including CNN, and an apology, or he's getting lawyers involved. Does a celebrity have a right to demand a retraction?
Sure he can, but he probably isn't going to get it. I just read the article, the letter that the lawyer wrote. It was a very well-written letter, and it really explains Morgan Freeman's position. And, you know, essentially, the claim is that CNN sort of trumped up all of these comments and kind of stoked the fire on it, and that he didn't assault anyone. He didn't quid pro quo anyone. It was really just he was making comments that may have been inappropriate. And so, you know, the whole thing has been couched in different terms, and he's saying it's defamation. Not sure it rises to the level of defamation, but certainly the letter is a good PR move on his behalf, because it really does set forth what happened, and I think if you read it, you question a little bit CNN's motives.
Yeah, motives or sloppy journalism, whatever the case may be, he appears to be a dirty old man, and that seems to be the summation of it.
Well, and like he said, you know, the lie gets all the way around the world before the boots, the truth gets its boots off. That's what the lawyer quoted in the letter. And it's really true. I mean, his 80 years of having a stellar reputation now is out the window. But again, I think we always have to look at what are the different levels of this. You know, certainly rape and the Harvey Weinstein and assault and that type of thing is one thing, but making inappropriate comments is another thing. Again, you don't want to have any of that stuff done in the workplace or anywhere, but that's a little bit different. And if that's all that he did, you know, shame on him, but that's not as bad as assault and battery and quid pro quo and you have to have sex with me in order to do a movie with me.
Yeah, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. Men, you know the line. You know the line, and you know when you cross it. What is going on with Ivanka and all of her copyrights and trademarks in China?
Well, she is getting a lot of copyrights, and so Donald Trump has about 100 copyrights in China, and he actually got some, about 40 of them last year while he was president. So this is just causing a little bit of stir. Of course, everything he does causes a little bit of stir, that, you know, the government prohibits a public servant from taking anything or doing anything for profit without Congress consent. So in this case, the question is she getting these copyrights because she's Ivanka Trump? Is he getting copyrights and all these protections in order to get curry some favor with him? And so you never quite know how that works. You know, is Trump going to now have policy that is favorable to China because he's getting these copyrights and Ivanka's getting these copyrights, or is it just the way of the world? I just think it raises questions. I don't know that there's anything wrong about
it. Well, it's possibly tied to this Chinese telecom company, ZTE, which every one of our intelligence agencies say is an absolute security threat. And Trump throws a bone to China and says, we'll take another look at the sanctions on ZTE. And then Ivanka gets the trademarks and he gets the copyright. So that's why it looks like pay for play.
It does. The timing of it looks very, very suspect. On the other hand, you know, when you're a Trump, you've got to protect your brand. And China is known for the squatters' copyrights, where they just take up everybody's names and they use it for other things. So I understand why they have to do that, and they have to do it proactively. But again, when you're president, there's all kinds of rules that apply, and this whole thing really looks bad in my view.
The Sesame Street lawsuit against Melissa McCarthy and stuff is about Sesame Street's brand and puppets who are violent, and a movie that's come out separately from all of that with violent puppets. We don't have time to get to that in great detail, but I've got to ask you about Roseanne before we run out of time. Look, I've got a clause in my contract. I have, I think, in every contract I've ever signed that says the company has a right to fire me if I embarrass the company and they can prove that I've embarrassed and damaged the company. Does Roseanne have any legal recourse here that you're aware of?
Probably not, because she's got that exact clause in hers, as does almost everybody. So, nope, that's a perfectly fine firing. It's not First Amendment. First Amendment only applies to governmental action. This is a private company doing it, firing somebody, as if you was any employer, and they have a right to do it.
Could Bert sue Ernie for palimony?
If you pulled some strings.
You can get back to me. Look at you. Look at your father would be proud of that move. It's 7:02. That's Karen Conti. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Texter says Dave Ennett also shares today's birthday with me. Happy birthday, Texter.
Thank you, Texter. Well, I mean, you wish me happy, but happy birthday, Texter.
773 Texter. I'll give you the Texter's phone number. You can call and maybe get some lunch. You and the Texter.
Yeah, I don't know if that can
happen. Evan Eschmeyer also has your birthday.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Evan Eschmeyer.
Yeah.
You know, of the Eschmeyers.
No, great. Center and one of the great players in Northwestern Wildcat history.
And you being Mr. Cat. Hello.
I guess I ought to know that.
Marianne Ahern, when is your birthday, Marianne Ahern?
Well, it is my brother Peter's, so we'll have to say that Dave and Peter, and he is, of course, I have four brothers, but they're all my faves, but he's really right up there.
Very nice. When is your birthday?
Not till July. We have some time. You can catch back with me.
All right, so you'll just give me the list you normally give me.
We'll circle back.
We don't want to remember those birthdays anymore, do we?
I know I don't. Somebody asked me what I wanted for my birthday this year, and I said, well, 25 silver, 50 is gold, 57 is I don't give a crap.
Well, this is hilarious. Springfield, the hotel asked me if I had an AARP card because I could get $10 off on the room. So
no.
I'm ready. I have my card when I check in.
Marianne, I remember when my mom got reverse carded at one of the Macy's or Carson's, one of the stores, and it was senior day. And she was so upset that they asked her. I said, who cares? You get 25% off. She's like, yeah, but I don't like getting reverse carded.
You know, I'm always lucky to be able to play older. I was 45 when Kohl's asked me if I wanted a senior discount. Very bitter. Very, very bitter. All right, so Springfield, done. Budget, done?
Isn't that amazing? Here we have an election staring us in the face, and now we have compromise. That's the maddening part, that for 2.5 years, so many social service agencies that needed the state help, or at least a decision what's going to happen, and but now they can get it together. It appears that the Senate will vote this afternoon, and the House later on. I think we'll have a budget before the end of the day, one day early. I don't know.
Well, you hit the exact point, though. You hit the exact point on the head. Why couldn't this have been done 2.5 years ago? Why did we have to go through all the hand-wringing? Why was any of it necessary?
And there still will be hand-wringing for the governor, because he's going to have to sign on to approving that, yes, the tax hike that always was promised to be temporary, whoever believed that, but he is going to have to sign on to say, yes, I guess we're going to have to go with this, because what's the alternative? So we might see them back in July. I'm still saying, I haven't seen it ever happen May 31st, nice and neat, in a long time. So, but they want to get out of town, and one reason they want to get out of town is there might be a new lawmaker named as a harasser tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So if no one's there, no one's
what's left in the Capitol to react. That would be just fine with them.
All right, so it's a name obviously you can't reveal at this point, but is it going to be
I honestly don't even know.
Oh, you don't know? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No,
I'm just wondering if it's going to be somebody we know as more of a household name, because that would be where the story would move much quicker.
Yeah, that is what is promised. But Denise Rothheimer, the woman who first, she was a victims' rights advocate, came forward in October naming Senator Ira Silverstein, who, of course, then lost his primary election. She will be with this new woman who is stepping forward, who is also described as an activist, who has been to Springfield before, not there now. But she has not identified who the lawmaker is, other than to say that he is someone who is well-known leadership. But that could mean a lot of things, but will not say whether he's a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, here we go.
Or I'm assuming it's a male, because, I mean, it could be, but I'm assuming it's a male.
Yeah, I think it's a fair bet. And again, that's tomorrow at 1.
Hey, Marianne, J.B. Pritzker now crossing the $80 million mark in cash he's given to his campaign. The latest is $5 million that he put in just a couple of days ago. So my question to you, is this just going to be money versus money? And are they just going to keep hammering each other over Mike Madigan? Who's Mike Madigan's guy? That kind of thing. Or are we going to actually see something out of either candidate, Pritzker or Governor Rauner, about something they're going to do economically, for pensions, for education, anything on paper, anything concrete?
Yes, such a good point. Well, there's no way that Rauner can match dollar for dollar what Pritzker has, but he's going to start throwing his money in. In fact, we had heard perhaps TV ads up as soon as this week, then said, wait a minute, I think he wants to wait till the budget is done, especially if the first ad is J.B. Pritzker is Mike Madigan's buddy. That's not going to help in negotiations for the budget. So look for ads to start perhaps as soon as next week, or who knows, at midnight on the 31st. The ad war begins, and Pritzker will definitely match and go further. Already you can't turn on websites without his ads up already. And you're right. Where are the programs? Where are the plans? The lawmakers yesterday, even though all this graduated income tax hike talk, you know, fueled the whole primary, the Democrats couldn't even approve it. They didn't have enough votes for it. So I think folks are anxious to have tell us where we're going. How are we getting out of the mess that we're in? And that would certainly help drive the debate.
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable request. When are we going to start getting pounded by commercials for the 223 people who want to be mayor?
Oh, boy, no kidding. This morning, the story about Bridget Gaynor and how many parking tickets and red light cameras. Well, I mean, when you have several drivers of your car, I mean.
Yeah, and she's not even in the race yet.
I know. I thought to myself, well, shoot, how many do I have? And, when they go back and, really, can we talk again about what are the plans for the schools and public safety? That's what folks in Chicago care about. But, oh, yeah, what do you mean? Are we going to see the ads? There's an ad up already. The ad with the CPS with Janice Jackson. Tell me that's not an ad.
Yeah,
that's an ad.
Sure. No, that is
absolutely an ad.
Gary McCarthy got in early, and there seemed to be some noise and some buzz around the campaign, at least a little bit. And now that's faded out completely. Is he still a serious candidate?
I think he is still a serious candidate, but there are, there's just so many factions of how this is all breaking down. Folks are wondering, okay, if the teachers might not like Paul Vallis, if that's the case, that's some of the talk I hear. If to the police, do they really like Gary McCarthy? I'm not quite sure. So people are looking all around to say, where are the various factions going to go? Now, Lori Lightfoot, how does she, where does she gather her? Who's her base? And then we have several candidates like Dorothy Brown and Willie Wilson, Jamal Green. I mean, but the one so far that the Emanuel campaign, at least that I get a lot of response on, is Paul Vallis. When Paul Vallis says something, the Emanuel campaign responds right away.
That's what I was going to ask you, Marianne. If you see him being the dark horse, if you see him kind of inching up ahead, because feasibly, McCarthy, Lightfoot, they could split the police vote, and Rahm Emanuel as well, too.
Right. And if Bridget Gaynor gets in, which right now I would say yes, she gets in.
Is that right?
I do. I think she gets in. But God knows. I mean, I don't have a pipeline, but I think from what I've talked to people and folks, it looks as if she gets in. Maybe she waits a little bit longer till July. She certainly has. I forget how much in her campaign. Is it 800? Is that too much? She's got a lot of money. She certainly is not as much as Ron, but she would, if she got in, she'd be number two as far as how much campaign money she has. And I think in perhaps this year of the woman, you know, she sees as a path.
Well, and I think she's a very attractive candidate, you know, on a number of levels. I mean, she is she's young, she's energetic, she's got a very busy regular job outside of the Cook County Board. She's been on this show many times. We like her, and I think she could be a significant candidate if she does get in.
Absolutely. And then and Lori Lightfoot as well. I mean, she is a breath of unbelievable knowledge, has been there, is serious as could be. And so there are some really fascinating choices this time around.
Yeah.
And then you hear folks who say, listen, there's no one who can match the mayor's money. And how are they going to do it? So, you know, hey, job security for me, right?
Man. Can you imagine if Chicago? Yeah, I'd like to think at some point you'll be able to just relax and kick back. I don't see it happening for you, Marian.
I'm so glad.
That's a great point, though, Marian. Rahm Emanuel right now, as of 2 weeks ago, has six million plus in his campaign. The closest, Gary McCarthy, is 200,000.
As far as reported money goes?
As far as reported money, okay. As of just 2 weeks ago, yeah. Mm. So right. Bridget would be up there if she got in.
I got $100 in my wallet. I'm not even in as well. So, you know, I'm thinking about
it. I've got my AARP card, so I can send out this.
I hope you punch that dude. It's Marian Ahern, NBC5 Chicago, all over social media as well. Thank you, Marian.
Thank you, and happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you very much, Marianne. Yeah. I appreciate it. And happy birthday to your brother also.
Oh, maybe you two can get together with a texter.
Sweet.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Dave, Marianne Ahern's brother, and the texter from the 773. And Evan Eschmeyer.
I can go. Yeah.
And Evan Eschmeyer.
It's close enough for my birthday. I'll go too.
Yeah, when is your birthday?
May 7th.
May 7th.
Yeah, same month.
Us
yeah.
talking about
party?
It. Yeah, I seem to remember that.
Yeah, Dave said I could go, so we're good.
By the way, Dave, I don't want to, you know, start any trouble, but we sort of phoned it in on the decorations for your birthday today.
Hey, I bought those at the dollar store.
Oh, no, they're very nice. And Andrea got me this. Simple, honest, nice, delicious veggie sticks.
Can I tell the quick? Yeah. That's from all of us, by the way. So I went into the Walgreens. I said, hey,
not from me, Dave.
I said, where's the healthy snacks? And she said, I said, just kale chips or something. And she said, you mean like potato chips? And I said, no, just a healthy snack, kale, something like that. And she said, like a protein bar?
This Walgreens here is huge.
It's huge.
It's the size of a suburban Target. But I love the idea that you go in and ask for healthy snacks, and they go, what are you talking about? You expect like a dusty shelf in the back where nobody bought anything.
Right. Well, potato chip, I guess, could be healthy.
Yeah. It is a vegetable. Back with more in a moment, including a reminder, you could win a Centennial Edition Chevy Silverado.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let me down. That steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruised through a lot of good times and rolled out the bad.
729, I want to thank our friend Mark Slaby. Before we get to our Centennial Chevy reminder here, Mark Slaby and the Patriot Education Fund, another smashing success yesterday at Medina, raising tons of money, including a really cool moment. There was an anonymous donor who kicked in 15 grand at the auction just for the sake of doing it. Didn't want any recognition for it. There was one scholar in particular whose scholarship was not fully funded. And this anonymous donor stepped up and said, here's $15,000, do it.
Wow.
But a lot of money was raised at the auction. A lot of money was raised at the golf outing as well. And it was a great situation that we were in.
That's so nice.
We got to play with a Navy SEAL 30-year vet.
Commander Yeezy. Yes. Great guy. Great.
Terrific.
Guy. And as it happens on the golf course, you hear stories you can't say on the radio, but has had a really fascinating career. I mean, the Navy SEAL for 30 years. It's like at one point, Sandberg and I and Dave are looking at each other and goes, okay, there's that guy who's working for America, saving lives, fighting the bad guys for 30 years.
And then there's us.
I know. And I couldn't believe it. I can't help myself. I was asking him a question and I compared it to Homeland. And I was like so embarrassed because I know it's like a TV show that I watch.
Yeah, but it's a very realistic TV show.
Yeah, he was really nice about it. But it's like, Mary, stop talking. But I couldn't help myself.
I rode with his brother-in-law.
Rob.
Very good guy. Rob, great guy. And we had a great time. But I did say to him at one point, I said, look, you're a great playing partner and everything, but I really got the short end as far as the storytelling here.
Well, I mean,
he agreed. He acknowledged.
Rob's a businessman, and he's got a very interesting business. He actually is involved in trying to clean up the voting mess from coast to coast, dealing with state legislatures and trying to modernize. Professionalized, to invent a word, the voting systems around the country, and therefore to encourage more turnout and more people not just registering but actually voting. So he's got a very cool job as well.
Tough job.
But you would think Thanksgiving, the whole family gets together. Probably not easy to compete with Todd's stories. I'm thinking, right?
Or Rob?
Nah, it would be tough.
And like Todd was so cool. I think he waited till the fifth or sixth hole to pull out the driver because they were clubs that weren't his. And he's like, "Yeah, I haven't used it." Gets up to the tee and like
uses a pitching
wedge. he was using like a 3-wood up until then, and then he pulled out the driver and first shot is like amazing drive.
So. Now let me tell you something. I play a lot of golf. I played okay yesterday, and normally I complain about how I play, but this one, Sandberg, steps up.
Yeah.
First tee, we got. Do we have four guys playing or three?
We had a group of five.
Yeah, so we had four guys initially.
Me and four of you.
Yeah, so four guys stand up, including me.
Yeah.
And nobody's good off the first tee. Sandberg busts one down the middle.
Yeah, she did.
It was great.
We
and,
yeah.
And steps up for a second shot, knocks it to 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. Nice, Mary. Yeah. Woo.
I parred that hole. A legit par.
So she carried you.
Mr. Birdie. No, but that's okay.
I know. He's like harassed me about a birdie. It's like, geez, this is the first hole. We didn't even warm up. Like, I'm like really happy
good
with the par.
You.
No, I was impressed.
And you know what? I was thinking about if I had that Centennial Blue Silverado truck, I would put my golf clubs right in the back of that thing, cruise out of there.
You might have sank that putt.
You notice how the producer transitioned?
Mm-hmm.
The Centennial Blue Silverado, available to you, free from me and all of us here at 720 WGN, and of course our friends at Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Heritage bow tie emblem, Centennial door badges. Oh, you're going to look so good in this truck. Spray and bed liner. You don't have that at the house.
No, you don't.
Centennial Edition badging on the floor liners. It's just got all these cool little extras. 22-inch premium silver painted wheels, chrome inserts, chrome tow hooks, door handles, mirror caps, belt line. And, of course, my band, the chrome tow hooks, will play in the back of the truck.
It's probably big enough for the band.
You want that bed liner because then the paint doesn't, get all nicked up when you put your
stuff in
the back.
Right?
Yeah, so.
All right.
I would have looked so good at Medina if I would have had that truck and put my golf clubs in the back.
Watch those first two shots.
Go to WGNradio.com/contests.
WGNradio.com/contests and enter today. Do not miss out. That's WGNradio.com/contests. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. You got a Silverado story you want us to feature? You love your Silverado? Shoot us a note on social. Post something up. And we'll talk about it in shows to come. Still to come on this show in just a few minutes, our friend Elise Glink is back. There's a video game that has been pulled off the market before it ever got going, which is the worst idea ever. The worst idea ever. I'll give you the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Active shooter video game lets players shoot up a school.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened.
Have we learned nothing?
Washington Post story about that this morning. The Roseanne thing, we'll get to it with Dean. We'll also talk to a friend of ours from Entertainment Tonight, Lauren Zima. Bill Browder, that's a name, a former guest on this show on multiple occasions. Bill Browder, Vladimir Putin's worst nightmare. Arrested in Spain overnight and released when the warrant was out of date. But it appeared that Vladimir Putin and company were trying to send him a message that we can get you anywhere, anytime we want. And the continued talk about what may happen with Kim Jong-un's right-hand man here. By the way, Kim Jong-un's styling now. Did you see the hat?
With the hat, yeah.
Kim Jong-un in the derby?
You and Joe were talking about getting a couple of those hats.
The Un.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, we're going to call it the Un.
The Un.
The Un. Everybody needs to wear the Un if you're a dude. 735, back with the headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sponsored by Grandview Homes, our friend Elise Glick joins us. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, Steve.
There is a televangelist named Jesse Duplantis. Have you ever heard of this guy?
I have not.
I haven't either. But he's asking his followers for $54 million so he can get a new private jet.
Oh, they should give more. He should have two. One for the weekdays and one special one for Sunday.
He told his followers that he'd be on an airplane preaching the gospel all over the world. Can't you fly coach?
Aren't there enough people to convert locally?
I would think. Seems to be plenty. I could just look out the window and notice a few. At 748, here's the headline. Mortgage lenders are making it easier for you to buy a house, but are they repeating last decade's mistakes? Are we headed down an 07, 08 scary road here?
You know, it's interesting. It's hard to say. I don't really think so. It's certainly not in Chicago. We're not. But in places like San Francisco and Denver, even San Antonio, Texas, to a limited degree, we are seeing a bubble. And the bubble is being formed not by what happened the last time, which is people getting mortgages who really couldn't afford them. It's being formed by a lack of inventory, not enough houses to buy.
And with not enough houses to buy, that means it's a seller's market, and buyers have trouble getting it. And if they do, they're going to pay a lot for it.
That's true. And also, we're seeing mortgage rates rise. And there's an interesting, given that we already have too many buyers for the houses available, the unlocking of mortgage restrictions and allowing people to buy with lower down payments and more expansive debt-to-income ratios just means we're going to have even more buyers chasing even fewer houses.
So what do we do about loosening that part of the story?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't disagree with the idea that after the Great Recession, lending restrictions went way far down the other path, right? It got very, very restrictive and hard to qualify, particularly if you had anything that put you outside of this little box. Everybody wants to put everybody in a box, and lenders are no different. But if you're outside, if you're self-employed, for example, or if you had your credit report dinged because you forgot to pay a bill, or just one little thing, you know, all hell broke loose and you couldn't buy a home at all. And so we are seeing kind of a pullback from that. The question is, like FHA last year decided it was okay, and I think Freddie Mac followed suit, if you had a 50% debt-to-income ratio, and that means you owed, after you got a mortgage or whatever, you owed 50% of your gross monthly income went towards paying your debt services, like your student loans or your car loans or your credit card bills and everything else. Well, your take-home pay, that'll feel like 70%. And that's a lot of money every month. So I don't know if we've gone a little farther.
But it does appear to be dangerous territory. Potentially.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it gets applied, right? I think of people who earn, let's say, $100,000 a year, and this was in, you know, the Chicago Tribune ran a story on this from the Philadelphia Inquirer this week. Guy who works in the restaurant industry. Well, this is a notoriously cash-heavy business, and, you know, he earns $100,000 a year, but rises in income fluctuates. And so banks have a hard time with income that fluctuates, right? They want to see the same. They want to see a W-2. It's identical every single week. Somehow this gives them confidence. Nobody will ever have anything bad happen to them. And yet this guy, after a lot of showing paperwork, I think was finally able to land a house. And I think that it's important that people like that are able to buy a house because houses are the bedrock of all of the net worth that most Americans have.
Andrea, say hi to Elise.
Elise, good morning. Hey, I'm curious to know how... It seems like we ask you this every couple of weeks, but just with the volatility of everything going on right now, do you think the summer market is going to be more for buyers or sellers favorable?
In Chicago?
Yes.
I think that it's a balanced market.
Okay.
And by that I mean I see a lot of houses available, you know, for sale, and I see sort of an average number of buyers out there. Some areas are hotter than others, but like on the North Shore, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. lots and lots of for sale signs. And Chicago overall is doing the worst. The Case-Shiller report came out this week. Chicago's doing the worst of the top 20 markets in the country. So by that I mean that we are still 16% below, the home prices are 16% below before the recession hit. Whereas nationally, the other 20 top markets are now 7 to 9% above their high point before the recession.
So they've come back, but we've never bounced back.
We have not fully bounced back, and that doesn't even take into account inflation. So we're seeing prices that are, and Sam, you know, Sam, my husband, is a real estate attorney. He's doing deals for people who are selling their homes for the same prices they paid 10, 15, and in some cases, even almost 20 years ago. And that's just, you know, that means that's a buyer's market.
Lightning round. Top three things on your mind today for work. And, and by that, I mean, your work.
My work. I have a whole bunch of things that I don't want to do because it's summer and I want to be outside biking on my bike. So I'm going to try and do what I always advise people to do, my least favorite things first today. And then I'm going to work on next week's ThinkLink newsletter and some of the new, there's a whole bunch of new interesting technologies that are coming out for buyers that are allowing buyers, I may have said this to you, robots are helping people do open houses. There's new kinds of models for buying houses, a company called Open Door and another one called Purple Bricks that may be coming soon to Chicago, and I'm going to look into those.
And you would advise the rest of us to do what? Wait for further communication from you as our leader?
Yes, and don't get wet in case it rains. Stay inside.
All right. Seems good. You should put that. Hey, you should put that in the newsletter.
Smart advice for everybody's life.
ThinkGlink. ThinkGlink.com. ThinkGlink. ThinkGlink.com. Sponsored by Grandview Homes. Thank you, Elise.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We'll continue this with Dean coming up in a few minutes, but Charlie Sheen has weighed in on the Roseanne situation. Yes, that Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men tweeted at Roseanne this morning saying it's the perfect time for our reboot. He says, good riddance, hashtag not winning. The runway is now clear for our reboot, hashtag Charlie Harper returns. John Cryer, his co-host for years, this is very funny. John Cryer said, what could possibly go wrong?
That's a great response.
Adios, Roseanne. Adios, Roseanne. Hashtag not winning. Runway clear for our reboot. And then Charlie Sheen also puts a script cover of Two and a Half Men and the Charlie Sheen comeback episode.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which is not happening?
Well, I was never a fan of the show.
I always kind of liked it.
I don't think show. I ever watched an entire episode.
Really?
But I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. Wasn't he blown up? I mean, he had a violent, his character had a violent death on the show.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I don't remember if that's exactly like
explosion
what happened.
Or he was run over by a train.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
something.
There was some message sent by the producer.
Something he couldn't come back from.
Yeah, it'd be really hard to explain that.
Well, when you switch networks, you're allowed to have one revival.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, you can confirm that with Dean.
Is that a rule?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, he was hit by a train.
Yeah, because Roseanne's husband had a heart attack on that episode. Remember, they brought him back. That was just a dream.
How'd that Roseanne thing work out?
Yeah.
Remember Patrick Duffy? Remember the whole Dallas episode?
Sure.
Season
yeah,
dropped
the whole season.
Yeah.
Roseanne blaming Ambien said she doesn't know or didn't know that Valerie Jarrett was black. She, and by the way, how does this help? I thought she was Saudi or one of them Iraqis.
Oh, God. Ugh. Just stop talking. Stop tweeting.
just stop.
Take a couple more Ambien and just go to sleep.
A string of Roseanne fans claiming a conspiracy, including claiming ABC put the show on just so they could cancel it and stick it to Trump. Listen, if that's what you think, take a deep breath and think about what you're thinking, because you don't put a show on the air and spend millions so that you can cancel it. That makes no sense on any level whatsoever.
No. And pay people and employ all hundreds of people on that set.
And Roseanne
advertising
also,
contracts.
No, it just doesn't work that way. It's a business. And Roseanne retweeted a conspiracy, as she's one to do quite often, claiming that George Soros, the billionaire Democrat funder, the guy that underwrites a lot of campaigns, that George Soros was a Nazi spy during World War II and helped his uncle turn in Jews. Here's the problem with that theory. George Soros was born in 1930. World War II and the takeover of Hitler of Germany is somewhere between 8 and 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. Probably not a mover and shaker at that point. And Snopes, amongst other websites, have proven it to be categorically false. You can dislike George Soros for a lot of other reasons. This ain't one of them. It's 8:02. Back with the news next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Moron Entertainment.
Moron number two here.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Up to my neck in Roseanne tweets.
Yeah, I'm getting bombarded as well. And, you know, look, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. And I don't know how anybody doesn't understand that there's no way on God's green earth or any other planet you want to pick that ABC put a show on the air so they could cancel it, so they could stick it to Roseanne, Donald Trump, and the Republican Party. It's just idiotic.
It's their top moneymaker. It was their top-rated show. Why would they want to kill that cash cow?
They were hoping this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and they wanted this to continue. I mean, ABC doesn't have a lot going for them in terms of new programming. So to have, you know, arguably the biggest smash hit of the year. And I have to say, you know, I went into this with an open mind and watching the show. And people who are saying this was a big pro-Trump show, I thought it was very even-handed.
Yeah, outside of the first episode. And even there, right, they had some balance in it.
Yeah, there was a balance throughout the show. I mean, they showed all points of view with this. I don't think this is at all about politics or the president. This was about a stupid statement for which she has profusely apologized, not excusing it, but even she admits that it was inexcusable, she has said in tweets. It's about, this is about money. ABC reacting so quickly.
And that's all it is. And by the way, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah. ABC did not want to deal with advertisers, dropping out, advertising boycotts, this turning into a big deal with them. So they acted quickly. And, you know, people can decide whether it's hypocritical or not, or, you know, whether this show or that show, you know, everybody's, you know, pointing to the, yeah, but what about that other thing that happened?
Yeah, but society we live in, this makes my head explode because you hear it every single day.
Right.
Here's the deal. Let's deal on a case-by-case basis with what's wrong. You want to go back in time and you want to talk about what Keith Olbermann said, and now he's on ESPN? Right. That's the Keith Olbermann situation. Yeah. That's not the Roseanne situation. Deal with that separately. You can't yeah, but the world to death, and there's no yeah but here. She said an idiotic thing. She deserved to be fired, and she was fired.
Yeah, absolutely. When I said that I'm bombarded with Roseanne tweets, I mean, I have gotten a lot of response on both sides of the aisle. I surprisingly, overwhelmingly, supporting Roseanne being fired for her, what Roseanne even admitted was an egregious statement. That's her quote. But I just flooded with Roseanne tweets. She will not put her phone down.
No.
You know, you would.
After saying she was off Twitter yesterday.
She said that she was off Twitter. She first sent the Valerie Jarrett racist tweet and then apologized and said that she's going to get off Twitter, which she did for like 6 hours. And then late last night, four tweets overnight, one of them saying that she was Ambien tweeting.
Yeah.
That's what she's calling it, Ambien tweeting. The drug that helps you fall asleep, which apparently didn't work very well with her to get her to fall asleep because she was sending tweets overnight. And now this morning, TheWrap.com is reporting that she's tweeting again at 4 o'clock in the morning, California time. accusing some of her castmates of throwing her under the bus. Sarah Gilbert, who plays her daughter Darlene on the show, you know, expressed her disappointment, and this show did, you know, was not about that, and the comments of one person don't represent this the show, nor the cast and crew who are now out of jobs. And, you know, Roseanne, you know, responding to her going, wow, nice, really? You know, expecting everyone to fully support her. And the young man who plays DJ, the now grown-up son on the show, his real name is Michael Fishman, he wrote about that the show was supposed to be about inclusivity and representing lots of different points of view. Roseanne wrote about that the show was about inclusivity, and thanks for throwing me under the bus. She just cannot put her phone down.
She's not the victim. She came up with this little ditty. Another human being is a combination of an Arab and a monkey. Send. That's why all of this is going on.
Right.
She's not a victim on any level. And the other thing is, amongst your excuses, she claimed it was a joke, right? Kathleen Madigan, a friend of the show, friend for a long time. I just, you know, saw Kathleen on stage out at the College of DuPage. She's just brilliantly funny. Kathleen tweeted last night, and I'm pretty sure Kathleen's a Republican, by the way. Kathleen tweeted, I'm sick of unfunny S-word being called jokes. I work hard at jokes, so let's not use it was just a joke when you just want to say I effed up.
Right. That's a great point. That's a great statement.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So, look, she got what she deserved. She's out. And this story is not nearly as important as Puerto Rico or North Korea or all the other things going on in the world. And the other thing, Dana, and you know this because we talked it to death. Kathy Griffin got fired as a liberal Democrat for holding up a bloody head of Donald Trump, and she should have been fired. So if you want to go after Kathy Griffin and say she should have been thrown out, you can't defend Roseanne for this.
Yeah, and Kathy Griffin this morning, she's got a series of tweets. If you can sort your way through it, I mean, she's, you know, going into the past and getting political, and that this is about Trump. And, you know, for me, I'm trying to stay clear of all of that and just simply report what's going on, which is weird enough, just the facts of this whole thing. But even Kathy Griffin responded about Roseanne Barr last night. So I mean,
saying that she was, I mean, she on her side or she not
didn't. She didn't say. She put it back on herself. She was saying that she can't. Kathy Griffin can't get a job. Can't, you know, no one will hire her. Yet Roseanne gets a sitcom. So I mean, she's still reflecting on her own stuff, yeah, and not saying. I was curious to see if Kathy Griffin was going to say this is wrong or if this is right, because some would make the argument that Roseanne put this on Twitter in her mind as a joke, the same way Kathy Griffin posted the picture of the severed head of Trump as a joke, and their jokes blew up in their faces,
right?
In the same way, and they both lost jobs and they both lost gigs. I was curious if Kathy Griffin found any sort of comparison with any of that, and that I'm not seeing anywhere on Kathy Griffin's thing, which I also find kind of interesting.
It's just amazing how we pick teams now, you know.
One of the more interesting tweets on this whole thing has been from former TV sitcom knucklehead Charlie Sheen.
I saw it. Yeah, yeah. We talked about the top of the hour. He says it's time to come back.
Yeah, this opens up a spot for his comeback.
And John Cryer, again, for those of you who missed this, John Cryer's response is brilliant. John Cryer tweeted, what could go wrong?
Right.
Dean, I said, remember back in the day when we all just thought something negative about someone and just kept it to ourselves?
Right. Keep your hatred to yourself where it belongs.
By the way, when we come back, Dean, we'll talk about what's really important. It's Dave Bennett's birthday.
This Roseanne thing is killing me. I haven't had time for one Kardashian baby story today.
Or even to wish Dave Ennett a happy birthday.
Or to wish Dave Ennett a... What are you guys doing to celebrate Dave's birthday today?
Nothing.
I don't hear a
it's
single...
It's a surprise.
Not that much.
Good observation, Dean.
Stand by, Dean. More coming up and not that much on Dave.
You'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
You know what's really good on TV, Dean?
WGN Morning News.
Yep. Yep.
CLTV. My favorite show. I hardly miss it.
CLTV covering this show at 9
a.m. 9 a.m. Yep. Yeah.
The John McCain documentary on HBO is tremendous.
I have not seen it yet, but I've heard only great things about it.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, one other note on yesterday's Mark Slaby golf outing. Our friend General John Borling was at the golf outing again yesterday. He's a big supporter of Mark Slaby and the Patriot Education Fund. And General Borling, he himself, who did, I believe, 8 years as a POW in Vietnam, has walked that walk as well. They're just amazing people. And we sit around here
admirable.
And we do moron entertainment. Come
admirable.
On.
Admirable. I'm gonna do something that may be just as, well, it won't even be close to as admirable as what they do. But as you know, Steve, I don't know if you've heard this, we're moving out of Tribune Tower.
Yes, I had heard.
WC is moving. We're leaving. And I just thought, as a dramatic gesture, that I was going to chain myself to the building and refuse to leave. I have no personal, you know, reason.
Yeah, there's no stake in it. You just ought to be cool.
I just think it would be like, you know, it would be, you know, and Dean Richards refuses to leave the building.
And then, for no reason, to have a coffee cup, or scrape it against the building and start chanting Attica. Attica. Attica.
And now I get an email that tells me that I have to label my waste paper baskets by my desk to bring them with me. Otherwise, I won't have garbage cans at the new building.
Why are we bringing old garbage cans to the new building?
Well, you're supposed to bring things that you want with you. Like, did you get your little packet?
What do you have?
You get a packet with labels with your name on them, and you put anything that you want. But there's only a couple of labels. You don't get like 100
Sandberg,
labels.
Did I get a packet with labels?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I stole it.
I didn't get a packet with labels. Maybe we're not invited to make the moves.
Could be.
Dean's that you're Steve Cochran on them.
Yeah. Okay,
so
that's
just
fine.
Put those on.
It has a number that is... That's where your stuff is assigned.
Do you know
to
your
go.
Number?
Do you know your number?
Yeah, I stole Steve's.
Mary,
so
what's Steve's number?
Yep, not a clue.
I have no idea what any of your...
I just thought maybe we could do something like where we had a box.
No.
We put stuff in a box, and then we took a Sharpie and we wrote on a box. No.
That's what I did. That's what I did. I packed up my stuff, put my stuff in the box, and put my name on it.
And it has to be the right color, too. I think the labels are orange.
No way.
Yeah. No, they're color-coded. I'm not making this up. I'll bring the package down.
How Tribune Media is that? How corporate is that?
Your name.
Listening Sunday, I'm going to be chaining myself to
Attica. Attica.
The piece of the building that they stole from the Alamo that's attached to the building. That's where I'm going to be.
The Greeks will bring you food, Dean. It's okay. You won't go hungry.
You know, this is how bad my ADD is. The lobby of the Tribune Tower will remain the same, and it should. It's a historic landmark, and there are etchings in the wall of famous quotations of famous Americans. And I thought, I haven't even read all of these, and I read some this morning as I was coming into the studio, and I went, yeah, I'm done. I read like two.
You probably read a line.
I couldn't focus on more than two readings on the wall and came in. I mean, it's going to take me another month just to get through the readings.
Let's take a picture.
That's another thing that I'm going to do. I know it's landmark status, and we're not supposed to touch it, but I'm going to come in over the weekend with a hammer and chisel.
Oh, nice. Oh.
And I'm going to scratch in Steve and Dean work here. Used to work here.
And then do our Moron Entertainment logo that we haven't come up with yet.
Right. MOE, as we like to call it.
Perfect. And this would be like an animated Mo haircut. I mean, come on.
Spread out, you guys.
We got a business plan now. All right. So is Roseanne's career over?
I would say, I don't know. I thought, yes. Maybe she'll turn up on another network someplace.
I think her commercial network career is over. I think she could do a stand-up special someday.
Stand-up special or...
And I'm talking HBO or somewhere else.
Yeah, because there are... you know, so many places for niche programming right now. It's possible that somebody, you know, would pick her up now. But, you know, she's it's a loose cannon. So, a couple of people have written very interesting editorials people are interested in looking at it, saying ABC played with fire by hiring her. They knew good and well that she's volatile.
Yeah, so what?
Controversial tweets and controversial statements are nothing new coming from her, and they got burnt as a result of
it. Yeah, but there's a line. I've heard this argument, too, for 24 hours or however long it's been, that you can hire a knucklehead and hire somebody who could be problematic and know the risk you're taking. But if they cross the line that you've determined, then they're out.
Right. Case in point. Is anyone more idiotic than Steve and I?
No! But we should have been fired five years ago.
I got to say, we don't cross the line. We're stupid and moronic. Yeah, there's no question. But we do not cross the line.
Well, it's because we're decent human beings who respect others.
Most days.
And they're color-coded boxes.
With labels with your name on
them. This is all new to me. Oh, this is good. This is...
I'm curious to find out what my move number is.
I'm upset now that I don't know my color code, and all the paper clips that I stole from the office supply room are going to go someplace else.
I'm still trying to figure out why we have to take old trash bins to the new office.
I don't think you have to.
The new office is beautiful. We shouldn't have any old crap in it, including me.
Are you saying you have to take them or you may take them?
It says, please label your waste basket so we can bring them with us.
Okay. Mine has a big crack in it. I just noticed.
Then you don't have to bring it. You can
buy a
new
one at
IKEA.
Then I won't have a waste basket.
No, it's not how it works, Mary. If you don't have one, you don't have one, you can eventually get one. Yes. All right, Dean. Thanks, buddy.
Have a delightful day.
You too. Say hi to Roseanne. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
It was a great day for the Bears. We won the ball game 61-20, and I scored 6 touchdowns.
Everybody gather around. Gather around the cake, please. Come on. Move it. Now, let's go. We're singing the song together. Happy birthday to you. Come on!
Handsome Dave Ennett hasn't aged a day since the day I met him.
True.
When did I meet you? 1999, probably? 2000? Somewhere there.
I want to say the first time I think you and I met, actually, you were... I want to say we were going to Bob Collins' funeral.
Oh, that's true. Here. I met you in the hallway.
You were filling in on the air that afternoon.
That's when we actually did the live broadcast of Bob Collins' funeral, because obviously only so many people could get in the church. Mm-hmm. I still have people who stop me and say how much that meant to them, because, and not being Catholic, we had a Catholic priest on the show who, I'm not being flip when I say this, it was like play-by-play and color commentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was able to explain the ceremony as it went along. But that's true. I met you in the hallway.
Yeah.
How many times have I gotten your birthday present?
Usually.
You got him the Hooters gift card, I think. Wasn't it the start of it
Hooters
that we
gift card,
lost?
Since I've blown it this year, what do you want?
I just want your friendship and good wishes.
You already got that.
Do a white lightning. Why don't you ask for a Chevy?
Hey, don't help.
Oh, sorry. Can I tell the first time that I ever met?
He's giving those out.
He's
giving out a Silverado. That's different.
You know what? I have a great idea for you for your birthday.
What's that?
I'll get it today. I'll bring it to you tomorrow.
Awesome.
Can I tell you the first time I ever... It's not like this is a retrospective of your life, you know, because you're still with us.
I know the first time you met Dave, right? He mispronounced your name, right?
Yeah, he said, I was all excited. It was 97. It was it was November. You were doing a football game.
We're doing Three Bears.
Yeah, you're doing Three Bears, and he throws the news to me and says...
And now, with WGN News, here's Angela Darlis. The problem was Dan Filato, who I should have reminded, he was our producer, and he scribbled out on a Post-it note, and it was just, I saw the A and the A at either end of the word. And Darlis.
Story of my life.
We'd never met.
Dave, Mr. T.
We were at a casino somewhere in Aurora.
Mr. T called you, Angela.
I know.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he heard that newscast.
That's right. He probably
nice to meet
did.
You, Angela.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
But no, happy birthday, Dave.
Well, happy birthday. What are you doing for your birthday?
I'm going to pack.
You're going to pack.
I mean, I'm going to do some packing here. I got some stuff
to pack the office.
My office.
Yeah.
You got your welcome packet? Your little label packet?
Yes, I do. I have mine. I have
What's
my number.
Your move number?
Mine's 46.
Ah.
46. That's really high.
And then
something draft.
And then
like a random.
I think my wife is going to take me to dinner tonight.
But you're not sure.
No, I think she is.
Will you see your kids on your birthday?
We saw the kids the other night. Sunday night, we celebrated
that's
early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said, can we get this out of the way, Dad? So,
yeah, yes. Your birthday's in the middle of the week, you know.
It's easier on a weekend.
And which one is this? What birthday? 43?
That yes, works. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. That's fine.
Put me at 20.
I'll say this. My 60th was 3 years ago.
So 45?
Looking good for 45.
And I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't have a six and a blank candle.
That's quite all right.
Dave is 63 like my parents.
There it is.
Okay.
There it is.
Wow.
All right, everybody.
In case you forgot.
A one, a two, a three.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Wait, hold on. Stop. Who's off key? Somebody's really off key.
Joe and Mary.
Not me.
I think it's the producer's booth. I think you guys are way off key.
That's got to be Sandberg then.
I was in quiet.
They were listening
really
to a different show, though, in their defense.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to
you. No, hold on. Stop. It's Vanderbilt.
It is not.
It's totally you.
Yeah,
you're completely off key.
I am not.
Turn your headphones up so you can listen and you can actually sing on key with the rest of us.
I think it's Angela.
me. All right, here we go. One more time.
I'm not singing.
Okay, ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dave. Happy birthday to you.
I think the third one was best.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That was very nice.
HBD, Dave.
Brings
HBD.
Tears to my eyes. It really does.
I can see the cake in the camera shot here. Is that like a white icing cake? What is
it's
that?
White. It's a carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
Made by the bakery of Mary Vanderbilt, the cake lady on the show. Hey, cake lady.
Cake.
What? Now that I'm off key, I guess I'm not talking.
Well, you were off key.
I was not.
You were totally off key.
I like Sandberg's line from earlier. She said, can I have a piece now?
I know, I didn't
From like
wait.
3 hours ago.
I didn't do kale this year. I tried it last year. Look what happened.
It was great last year. I loved it, but I love carrot cake. So
it was kale and applesauce. Yeah, Dave's the only one that liked last year's cake.
I
like, you can tell Mary bakes a lot because she has an address sticker on her dish to
oh
make sure
God.
That it gets
So
returned.
I get to cut it back.
There you go.
Got to do that.
So cut into the carrot cake. You kids have fun.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave got a birthday. Sandberg keeps saying how old he is. Dave's got the birthday blues. It is 8:56. You know, there might be hope for the Republican Party yet. Yesterday, Trey Gowdy on Fox. That's the Fox News Channel?
Yeah.
Trey Gowdy on the Fox News Channel said it's not a spy. This whole FBI Spygate thing that the president's trying to trump up, mm-hmm. not happening. Listen.
I am even more convinced that the FBI did exactly what my fellow citizens would want them to do when they got the information they got, and that it has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Shepard Smith yesterday afternoon. And by the way, Shepard Smith is a legitimate journalist. And every afternoon on Fox, he actually covers the news. Here's Shepard Smith breaking down some facts.
The so-called rigged Russia witch hunt is not a witch hunt. It has resulted in charges against four former Trump associates. Three pleaded guilty to lying to investigators about Russia. President Trump has also claimed the feds spied on his campaign with an informant. The president calls it Spygate. Fox News can confirm it is not. Fox News knows of no evidence to support the president's claim that lawmakers from both parties say using an informant to investigate suspected ties to Russia is not spying. It's part of the normal investigative process.
Yesterday on Fox. So let's knock it off. The only reason that there was an undercover agent involved in the Trump campaign was to help the Trump campaign. Because if the Russians were actually infiltrating the election, as we now know they did, the FBI needed to know about it.
Right. And Trey Gowdy, by the way, as you mentioned earlier, not running for re-election. He's leaving. He's out.
Yeah, and
he doesn't have a horse in the race, is what I'm
saying. I did want to mention. Well, he still has a Republican horse, but not the same way. I still wanted to mention too that it is okay for Paul Ryan to talk. He apparently doesn't know it's okay, but Paul Ryan, who was in the witness protection program, it's okay for you to speak up. Here's the weird thing. Where's Melania Trump?
Oh, since she returned from her surgery,
it's been the 10 days or so with the hospital stuff plus what, another week. It's got to be coming up on 19-20 days since she's been seen in public.
That's concerning.
You know, is she okay?
I hope she's okay.
What about this rumor that she's moved back to New York City?
Don't you think somebody'd see her though?
You would think, right? Somebody would say something, but who knows.
Anyway, coming up, the CLTV Hour, and still more to do on this program because we're not done till 10 on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Two big stories in Hollywood today. One, Dave Bennett's birthday. The other, that Roseanne thing. Our friend Lauren Zima, Chicago's own, live from Hollywood. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, you guys. I know Roseanne's having a bad day, but I heard it's somebody's birthday in there, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Lauren, thank you so much.
Lauren wanted to be here, but she's got to cover the Roseanne story.
I understand, but I appreciate the good thoughts.
She had a crew, an ET crew, ready to come in, and that darn Roseanne. Listen, Lauren, I have never in my life, I think about the way Matt Lauer fell. I think of the way Tiger Woods felt. But I've never in my life seen a show that's as big a hit as this show canceled because the star's an idiot. Is there a precedent for this?
You've hit the nail on the head in terms of the absolute insane turnaround of all this, right? First, the show hasn't been on in 10 years. It comes back to an absolutely massive success. It's not just one of those, oh, we're a little nostalgic, some of the original fans are watching. It's
a smash.
Huge ratings hit for ABC, yeah. And then one tweet and 24 hours and the whole thing comes crashing and smashing down. We were aghast in the newsroom, you guys. I mean, we saw this statement come through and people were standing up going, are you kidding me? It was nuts.
Is there anything we don't know about the backstory here? Because obviously this goes down. The president of the network finds out. She's got to get a hold of Bob Iger. They have to have meetings, right, where they try to figure out a way to save it, didn't they?
Well, I do wonder if just because, you know, we put up a story at etamline.com about all of Roseanne's past controversies and scandals, I do wonder if she's just somebody where they had kind of at this point, months into all this, gotten used to being on their guard with her. You know, she's said other stuff or other things have come up even in the reboot of the show. And I'm not saying they were prepared to cancel it, but, you know, maybe they were prepared to be prepared. And so this tweet happens, and I think, you know, the president of ABC's Entertainment Group is an African-American woman, and I think that this was really about making a statement, and I can't think of another time when a bigger statement has been made by a network overall, again, with the cancellation of what was really set to be one of their tentpole shows. And, you know, I also think of, gosh, the crew people, just the hundreds of people who were depending on this show for a job, and now because of this one star have to completely reconfigure their lives. It's not like they were wondering, oh, are we going to get picked up? We might have got a backup plan. They were thinking, we're locked in on this one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Lauren, kind of a two-way question here for you. I know Sarah Gilbert went to great pains to kind of put all of this together and rally the troops and get everyone together. Lori Metcalf, I think, had a little part in that too. Any talk of, and it's early, but of them maybe doing something else with the same cast and the same crew just to kind of keep everybody employed?
You mean where Ashton Kutcher could come in and
not
step
a
in?
Spinoff, but anything else. I guess it would have to be a spinoff at this point.
I think it would. I mean, you're not talking about, oh, a side character fell apart. Right. I mean, you bring up, you know, the 2.5 Men thing. That was kind of unprecedented on its own, and I'm not sure. I mean, it was successful to a degree. I don't know. Roseanne is such a unique person, imagining someone replacing it, and also it feels kind of tainted at this point, that character now. But
yeah, what would you call it? Without Roseanne?
I don't know, and that's what I was going to ask you too, Lauren. Aside from, has there been, I guess, in recent memory, a spinoff or any sort of a show where you lost the main character, like The Good Wife, I can think of maybe offhand, and now that's a successful CBS series because it had such a strong supporting cast, but where the main character went away and the sideshow became better or successful.
God, you know, I mean, better, I can't think of any better thing where you had a loss like this. I mean, replacing people, sure, especially in the movies. I mean, you know, the guy who played Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies, you know, he passed away and he was replaced. But movies are years apart versus a TV show. And a spinoff, I could see it happening. Again, it was such a rating success, and people follow success and people follow money. Jimmy Kimmel was last night, you know, he, of course, is on ABC, and he was saying, hey, let's just make a spinoff all about John Goodman's character. I think the thing is, this cast is so close. They were all totally in for a reboot the first time. And again, I know that they've been in the industry long enough to think of the crew people who all work on this and of the fans. And I think that they'd be in for some kind of spinoff if that was going to happen. Maybe it gets picked up by a streaming network as opposed to one of the big four. So we'll see what happens. It's so early to tell. I mean, Roseanne's still over there tweeting and deleting her tweets. So we're just still keeping up with that moment of it all.
Yeah, tweeting and deleting is a great way of putting it. By the way, we talked about this a little while ago. I do believe she will have a comeback, and I don't mean on network TV. I think there is, only in a redemptive way, I think there is next year, the year after that, somewhere down the road, there's an HBO special. There's a stand-up comedy special if she's willing to be contrite and continue to be contrite, maybe even do some work to help show that people don't talk like that or think like that. And time does heal to some extent. I'm not sure she has it in her. I mean, when I knew her 25 years ago, she was just as nutty as this, but you would hope that she does something to help lead and change the way people think and don't talk the way she spoke in untweet about Valerie Jarrett.
I think that one thing about our country is that people do understand and forgive if people really take ownership and apologize for what they've done, you know. And Roseanne has been in this industry such a long time, and again, seen other scandals and had other moments, that you do think, if anybody, she'd be someone who, if she took ownership, if she, you know, especially being a comedian, if she found a way to laugh at herself, to make fun of herself. We're still in the phase now. I mean, she's still attacking her cast members on Twitter. She's saying, you know, you're throwing me under the bus, or wow, after all I've done for you, when they're trying to say, hey, we do not agree with, you know, the views of that tweet. So she's still in that kind of in the sad back and forth right now with the people who she was closest with. You know, and then I don't know if you guys saw, she tweeted, oh, I was on Ambien and I was tweeting too late and I'm
ridiculous.
Sorry. So the apology isn't quite hitting the nail on the head yet, but I totally agree with you that we could see her come back, and that's, in some kind of a special HBO kind of comedy way. Or, I don't know, maybe we see her become some kind of commentator and really lean into some of her, you know, more conservative views that she has been leaning into. I don't know.
Thought about that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's talk of a competing Fox-type network. Imagine Roseanne gets her own show there. Holy mackerel. Listen, Lauren, thank you. Again, we'll pick up your mail and stop by anytime.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. And, you know, I'll just keep screenshotting those tweets, sending them over to you. I know this is the kind of birthday you wanted.
Exactly, Dave.
Thank you, Lauren.
Happy birthday. Thank you, Lauren. It's 9:18. She's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She
Lauren Zeman. I think her mom listens.
I think she does, too. Yeah.
So, hi, Mom.
Mom's saying happy birthday to you, too, Dave.
Thanks, Mom.
At 9:18, we'll come back. And Ro Khan will join us here in a little bit. There's a story in the past few days. You know, June 5th? I think it's June 5th, the anniversary of the murder of Bobby Kennedy. It's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And on June 5th of 1968, he left the Ambassador Hotel in L.A., was rerouted through the kitchen, and Sirhan shot him. Or did he? Bobby Kennedy was killed. There's a conspiracy theory out about who killed him. And his son, RFK Jr., is the one who doesn't believe Sirhan is the actual murderer of his father. Wow. Tell you some of that coming up in just a second.
And the best part about your booth is that the microphone smells like you. There ain't nobody else can do it like you. We all tune to Dave and you. We all tune to Dave and you. We all tune to the band, and you. We all tune to the band, and you.
That's musical director John DeCosta's song for Dave. Happy birthday again to Dave Edit today. If you want to drop a gift off, Dave will be here till about noon. Otherwise, we'll give out his address and his phone number.
Or you could drop it at the new place.
Yeah, that's true. 303 East. Mm-hmm. Here's this RFK Jr. story. Robert Kennedy Jr. married Cheryl Hines, who played Larry David's wife on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Very funny, very nice woman. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Cheryl Hines went to the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Center just before Christmas last year. It's a California State Prison Complex outside of San Diego, 4,000 inmates of various trouble. Kennedy went there specifically to see Sirhan Sirhan, the man who killed his father. Mm-hmm. Kennedy said he has looked at information for years. He's always been troubled by the assassination. He was a teenager when his father was killed. He said, I wanted to go because I was curious and disturbed by what I'd seen. Kennedy is now an environmental lawyer. He's the third oldest of RFK's 11 children. He's now 64 years old. He says he doesn't know if his involvement in the case will change anything, but he just is haunted by it. He's got to continue to take a look. Now, Sirhan Sirhan admitted at his trial in 1969 that he shot Kennedy. He claimed from the start he had no memory of doing so. Midway through the trial, prosecutors provided his lawyers with an autopsy report that's launched literally 50 years of controversy. And the interesting thing about this is, well, you know, we hear the Lee Harvey Oswald stuff. Were you aware that there's a controversy about Sirhan Sirhan?
Never.
I wasn't either until I saw this story. Sirhan Sirhan at that point was a 24-year-old Palestinian immigrant. Kennedy was shot four times at point-blank range. This is important. From behind, including the fatal shot behind the ear. Sirhan Sirhan was in front of RFK.
Okay.
Now, there was someone else that was shot on that day as well who survived. That individual was shot and fell into Kennedy. His name's Paul Schrade, or Schrady if you prefer. He also believes there was a second gun in the pantry at that point. So Kennedy is at the podium. He says, thanks for all your help, and now it's on to Chicago and victory there. He leaves the podium. He starts to walk in a particular direction, and the people in his party turn him around to walk him through the kitchen so he has a cleaner route to get out so they can move on. And at 12:15, they leave the podium. They start walking through the pantry. Schrade, by the way, or Schrady, I don't know how you pronounce it, was a regional director of the UAW and been a big help to Kennedy. Schrade says Kennedy started shaking hands with kitchen workers. The TV lights went on. I got hit. I didn't know I was hit. I started to shake violently, and then I fell. Then Bob fell. That's RFK. I saw flashes and heard crackling. The crackling was the other bullets being fired. Witnesses reported that Kennedy, on the ground at that point, bleeding profusely, said, is everybody okay? Is Paul all right? Therefore, indicating he knew Paul had been shot or had been hurt. Kennedy was still conscious when his wife, Ethel, pregnant with her 11th child, rushed to be by his side. He lived for another day and died at 1:44 a.m. on June 6th. Schrady was shot above the forehead. The bullet bounced off his skull, literally. Four other people, including an ABC News producer, were also wounded that day. Sirhan Sirhan captured immediately. He had a .22 caliber revolver in his hand. Carl Uecker, an ambassador hotel maitre d', was escorting Kennedy through the pantry, testified that he grabbed Sirhan's wrist and pinned it down after two shots were fired. Just two.
Mm-hmm.
We know for a fact there were more than two shots fired. How do you explain that?
Right.
Several other witnesses also said that Sirhan Sirhan was not close enough to place the gun against Kennedy's back. And how would he go from facing Kennedy to be behind Kennedy? Well, the thought is, when Schrady fell, Kennedy may have turned. Or when the gunshots fired, Kennedy may have turned. Mm-hmm. But they have no witnesses who say he could have gotten the gun to point-blank range on his back. When the chief coroner at that time and the chief doctor, I don't think it's the same person in charge of the autopsy, said the person literally had to have the gun against Kennedy's back. Sirhan is now 74. He's been in prison for 50 years, been eligible for parole for a long time. He's never getting out. He doesn't give media interviews because he can't. It's against the law in California. There's plenty of evidence against him, as has already been described. But these questions that come up have been enough to trouble RFK Jr. to the point where he literally doesn't believe that Sirhan Sirhan killed his father. And obviously you'd like to know. Now, when Chris Kennedy was running for governor up until primary, he was on this show several times. Mm-hmm. I would have brought this up to him. I literally did not know this controversy.
No, I didn't either.
And Chris is 5 years old. So, you know, obviously not of age to be even a part of this. But I'd be curious to know how Chris feels about this and how the other siblings feel about this.
Absolutely. And why just now is this coming to light? I mean,
I think it's the 50th year anniversary. Guess,
yeah. The after that meeting, just reading on in the article, it said over the years, new evidence reportedly shows as many as 13 shots might have been fired.
Possibly. And by the way, Sir Antoine had an 8-shot gun.
Yeah. Leading to what you said.
8-shot pistol guns. And only 2 bullets were fired. Where did the other shots come from?
Wow.
A lot of questions to be answered. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of the conspiracy theories, but those seem like legitimate scientific questions.
Sure.
RFK's junior's theory as far as why Sirhan Sirhan was prosecuted, and the prosecution went ahead and the defense didn't present counter evidence because the defense simply went right to, they didn't even deal with the evidence, they went right to, he shouldn't get the death penalty. It's sort of the Manchurian candidate thing. Sirhan Sirhan claimed he was hypnotized and has no recollection of the killing at all. Now, Bob's on the phone. Bob drives a taxi. Bob, they say there's a Netflix series coming up?
Yeah, it's already out there already. It's called Bobby Kennedy for President, and I think there's about 7 or 8 episodes, and it goes through the whole thing with potentially a police officer that was escorting him being not being a Bob Kennedy fan at all, potentially might have been a suspect in it, because he was holding him by the arm, escorting him through the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel. And it goes through the whole thing, as well as Martin Luther King getting assassinated. Okay. and Jack Kennedy. It's really well done.
If Bobby Kennedy were alive, he would also be 93 now, if he had survived. And what you're talking about is the one thing after this story came out that I've seen again and again. Because when you see Bobby Kennedy with his entourage leave the podium at the Ambassador in Los Angeles, somebody says, no, we're going the other way, and turns him around. Okay, well, Sirhan Sirhan's in the kitchen waiting for hours. So if you don't go through the kitchen, Sirhan Sirhan doesn't get the shots that he gets. So why was he walked through the kitchen, which may give some credence to what you're talking about, Bob?
Hey, Steve?
Yeah.
One other thing. I wanted to ask, how old is Dave Ennett? He's not volunteering his information about how old he is.
He is between 25 and 105.
I also wanted to make a mention to Dave. My best friend's father is a good friend to his father. He passed away yesterday, and I just wanted to make a mention of it to Dave. His name is Marshall.
Oh, I had not heard
and
that.
And Dave,
I know him well. Yeah.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. Yeah. Well, listen, Bob, I appreciate the phone call and the heads up on that Netflix series. Let me get one more. Patty, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Great.
I was just calling. I was in grade school when Bobby Kennedy was shot, and he was just a hero of mine. Sure. He was like really my first memory of somebody who just left an impression with me. So over the years, I've collected books about him, read so many things, and I completely agree with you and Andrea that I've never heard anything about a controversy until I read the article you're talking about yesterday.
Isn't it wild?
And was just shocked. I mean, I thought I'd read just about everything. I haven't read Chris Matthews' book, but just about everything else, and never heard a mention of it. And the other interesting thing in the article is it talks about the 2 or 3 people that tackled Sirhan also say there's no way he could have reached the back of Bobby's head. So, I mean, it's really a mystery. And they said there's some guy who is a forensic expert who used the same, I forget what they call it, but the technology that the Chicago Police Department is using now, the shot placer or something like that.
Shot tracker
that can detect the number of shots and use that technology to determine that there were 13 shots.
Right. 13 shots, 8 bullets in the gun.
Eight bullets in the gun, yeah.
Yeah. So it really, amazing. I can understand why Bobby Jr. is, you know, questioning it now.
I appreciate you listening, and thanks for all that. And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned the piece, too, because it's ChicagoTribune.com. Let me give the writer credit here before we move on. As soon as I could find the writer, Tom Jackman. Tom Jackman wrote the story.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
9:34 headlines in a minute on 720 WGN. Yeah. 9:46. Check in with Ro Khan. Hey.
Hello.
You talked to Roseanne today?
I did.
How's she doing?
Well, she and I didn't sleep very well last night because neither of us could take Ambien. So
I bet you was tossing and turning and tweeting. Remember that song? Tossing and tweeting. Classic.
Yeah, she kept me up all night last night, you know, bing, bing. You know, I was like, I just said, all right, I got it.
Turn your notifications down.
You know, but she's on my specials list, so yes. she gets right through.
Here's the deal. There's been a lot of, what a victim she is. She's not even close to a victim. She can't even see victim from here. She wrote it. She hit send.
Well, okay. Did you see that the Ambien people, the makers of Ambien, have put out a statement today that said that racism is not a side effect of our drugs?
We knew
what she was about anyway, right? I mean, it's not like this tweet came out of nowhere. It's not like, oh, I've been just totally, like, she was at an NAACP meeting and then all of a sudden she tweets this. She has been talking about crazy stuff. She's been part of that weird conspiracy world that exists on 4chan and Alex Jones sites and all that sort of stuff. That is, you know, this Pizzagate, and that Chelsea Clinton is married to George Soros's nephew, and George Soros, when he was 12 years old, was murdering fellow Jews in a concentration camp.
In other words, all the stuff that makes sense.
All the stuff
that just lines up perfectly and could never be questioned by common sense. That's the thing that's just really maddening to me, is that people don't stop down and go, whoa, 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 whoa. This doesn't add up. 2 + 2 doesn't equal 7.
Unless they want it to add up.
Why am I even taking this seriously? And why in God's name would I repeat it?
Yeah.
So she's out, which means there's an opening finally for a little something called the Stephen Rowe Show. It's a sitcom. It's about two middle-aged men who live together. One's more of a slob. The other's kind of a neatnik. I don't think it's ever been done before.
But we live at opposite ends of the clock, though. So we have no interaction.
Never see each other.
That's what makes it different than all the other sitcoms, is we never see each other. We never talk to each other.
And therefore, there's no comedy between us whatsoever.
Right. Only in the opening credits do they see us together.
It's like two separate sitcoms just rolled into one.
It's like when they draw the line in the middle of the family room. Like, you'll be talking to no one. Rose talking to no one.
Yeah, there'll be no one.
Piece it together.
No, right. We can sleep in the same. We get hot rack, and it's gonna be that. Maybe that's the comedy.
You need twin beds.
Here's the Ambien tweet you were talking about. What's the name of the company that makes Ambien? Sanofi. Sanofi.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sanofi. 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 Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You say Sanofi. I say racist things on Twitter. People of all races, religions, and nationalities work at, let's say, Ambien.
Sanofi.
Work at Sanofi every day to improve the lives of people around the world. While all pharmaceutical treatments have side effects, racism is not a known side effect of any of our medications.
It's good.
Tremendous.
It is really good. You know, however, one of the known side effects is sticking your head through the cockpit door after you've had a couple of drinks and you fall asleep on the plane.
Yeah, I understand.
That is true. But
Here's how you don't apologize for saying something incredibly stupid. You don't follow it up with, I thought she was one of the Arabs. I didn't know she wasn't black. I just thought she was one of them sand people. That's kind of what Roseanne said last night as well, and through the night and into this morning, and it continues. She can't be helped. I still maintain, Rose, I've said a couple of times now, she will have an HBO special, a stand-up special in the next 5 years if she's willing to walk the plank on this one for some time to come. And I don't know that she is.
I don't know that she is either, but she's going to have to... You worked as a stand-up comic. You know a lot of comics. comics, by and large, are pretty, I mean, I know this is a blanket statement, but I'm going to make it anyway. I feel confident in saying this. You know, most of the guys I know in from stand-up comedy are deeply troubled people. And
he's not wrong. I'll back him up. He's not wrong at all.
And one of the things that I find about Roseanne is Roseanne's one of those people that her comedy comes from saying the outrageous, saying the thing that she thinks everybody else is thinking, and then she tops it. And that has always been her thing. It's always been about being obnoxious. It's always been the humor is that she's disconnected from the politeness and propriety of the people around her. That is where that's the whole tension of her comedy and her shows, and that's why they've been successful. And so she tried to top herself, but she's so now caught, as I think a lot of people do, and I hate to say it, is like there's like a thing that happens as people get caught in this fever dream of cable news.
Yep.
Right? They're watching it, and then they start consuming the websites, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper, and they start to just only want to hear what agrees with their point of view.
Sure. The echo chamber. And you got to feed the beast, and you got to fill 24 hours. And people will sit there for 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 hours a day just consuming it.
I think it's really interesting that today you're seeing for the first time, there's been 3 or 4 cracks in this today, where Fox News Channel has had either their anchors or their guests directly contradicting what the president is saying.
Yeah. Yeah, starting with Trey Gowdy. That's a great piece of sound. We played that earlier. And in addition to that, you got Judge Napolitano, and right. You got your Shepard Smith. All three right. of them saying, we have no evidence that there was a spy in the Trump campaign. Here's the other piece of the Roseanne story before we run out of time. She said it was a bad joke. My friend, comedian Kathleen Madigan, said on her own Twitter feed, I'm sick of unfunny S-word being called jokes. I happen to work hard at jokes, so let's not use it was just a joke when you just want to say effed up S-word.
Yeah. It's perfectly said.
It's a perfect summation of why well you done. Can't hide behind it's just yes. a joke.
Yes, so. when this show is on HBO, when our sitcom is on HBO, we'll be able to say those words.
Roe/Steve. Yeah. Steve/Roe. Yeah, we'll come up with it. We'll work on it. What are you doing today?
We're back today for the first time in as a constituted show.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we'll be dealing with all of this. There'll be some Roseanne fallout, and I'm assuming other really important stuff that has been booked in our absence, because I went I've a couple stories to tell from over the weekend. I went to the Indy 500 for the first time.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, my God, is it great.
I've only done it once, but it's tremendous.
It is a tremendous event, and I've got a little story about something. As, you know, as happens to me, something wacky always happens.
Sure, sure. I'm involving clearing security of some kind.
And, you know, sometimes when you got to go, you got to go, and there's 450,000 people in line, that creates a problem.
No Uh-oh. Question.
Were you in the infield or that party area?
I don't think it matters.
We did both. I was.
No, I meant partying, not the other. Not having to wait in line for to go.
There's a golf course in the middle of of the Indy 500.
And inside
there's just people sitting on the golf
track.
Course. Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Is there?
I have a friend who plays it. Is an 18-hole golf course.
I have a friend who goes to the Indy every year, and they book a tee time for, I think, on Friday they played.
Yeah, it's called the Brickyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful, too.
Yeah, it looks great. And sometimes you'll have drunks wander over from their minivans and their vehicles of all kinds and wander on and steal your title list. It's a whole thing. All right, man, I'll see you.
All right, bye.
That's Roe Khan. He's on today at 3. And thanks to our friends at CLTV. You can watch Roe and Anna and Kevin and...
Looking at this golf course.
Violetta Poopy Pants and everybody.
Wait, what?
It's 9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up on Dave Edit's birthday at 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Good luck to you guys. Wendy just walked in, looked at me, and said, I'm sick of men.
She said that right off the bat.
I don't even know what I did.
Yeah, but she lives with you know. Other guys.
Is it me?
No, it's all just men all are of us. Silly, except for Dave, because it's his birthday and I like him.
Thanks,
well, for
Wendy.
Some reason, my phone's there to talk.
Spanking machine. Come on,
what?
Bill.
It's Dave's birthday today.
That would really get painful. That's a lot of
63.
Yeah. Yep. We'd be here for a while.
It's more painful for us, Dave.
You had to get permission from the Chicago Fire Department to just light those candles.
We couldn't light them. Is that why?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Just stop.
All right, we're going to go town to town and announce to the other villages that it's Dave's birthday today. We'll be back tomorrow. Here's Wendy.
This
hates all men.
I don't really. Okay. All right, come on. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago.
I hate him.
And if you're what?
I hate him.
He's a man, so we hate him.
What? If you're a smart speaker user, are you just going to push this all
day? Not all day. We have a short show.
Just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.